Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap, and we're just excited that you're taking time out of your schedule to join us. Tonight, we're going to be talking about if God wants you to be debt-free, then what? If God wants you to be debt-free, then what? And so tonight, we have our second episode of our monthly series for July 2015. And what we're doing is we're continuing the conversation about being debt-free. If you've been with us over the last 4 or 5 weeks, you know that we've been dealing with this subject of debt in various different ways. So what we're doing tonight is we're shifting from what are the top three reasons that you want to be debt-free, which was a question that we lifted up last week on July 2nd. And the shift that we're making is, if God allowed you to become debt-free, how would that change things? And so really what that does, it lines up with the title of tonight's show. If God wants you to be debt-free, then what? How would you change things? Then how would that change anything? And I thought about something. I thought about, why are there not more believers? Why are there not more churchgoers being debt-free? And I thought about if I took a poll in the church, not the church universal, but my church, your church, or wherever else PRF is invited, and I asked two questions. Are you debt-free? I wonder what their responses would be. It really is not anything other than a simple response. It's either you're debt-free or you're not. There's no such thing as being half-free, just like there's no such thing as being halfway in bondage. You're either in bondage or you're not in bondage. Simple as that. And then the other question that I would ask folks is this: have you ever been debt-free? And I think those are two very important questions to put out there if we were polling a church or if we were going through some pre-assessment work for PRF at your particular church or your particular organization. Because we want to know if you're debt-free now, and we want to know if you've ever been. The second question, have you ever been debt-free, is a really, really critical question. Let me tell you why. Because if you have been debt-free before, then there's going to be some follow-up questions that I may want to ask. Maybe one of those follow-up questions will sound like this. When you became debt-free, how many other people did you help to become debt-free? If you've been debt-free before, how many other people did you help to become debt-free? If you've been debt-free before, then that is indicating past tense. So the sub-question of that is, why are you not debt-free right now? And so as we talk about if God wants you to be debt-free, then what? We're really shifting from that part of the conversation, as I just mentioned a minute ago. And we're going to look at a couple of things, and we're going to look at one of our foundational texts, which is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And we're going to just look at that from a debt perspective. Here's how I would answer the question, or answer or respond to the statement, if God wants you to be debt-free. And I hope that you hear the tone in my voice when I say, if God wants you to be debt-free. Because what we're doing, and what we've been doing ever since the beginning of last month in June, is we've really been operating here at the PRF table under this umbrella theme of re-understanding debt. And we've been operating under this theme, which is a subsection of credit and debt are first cousins, which is the title of one of the PRF lessons. And so we've been dealing with it from if we're going to help people to re-understand debt, if you're going to allow us to help you to re-understand debt, then you have to know two things. You have to know that there's a financial sector way of looking at debt, and then there's God's way of looking at debt. And I can tell you that there are some things, even in God's way, that are relative in the financial sector. But just because they're in the financial sector doesn't mean that the financial sector is using them in a godly way. It doesn't mean that the financial sector is looking for the solutions with the Word of God. It doesn't mean that the financial sector is trying to deal with it with the Spirit of God flowing. So, yes, you can go out there and you can pay off all of your credit cards. You can pay off your home mortgage. You can pay off your credit loans. You can do all of those things. That still does not mean that you're free. Think about it. It doesn't mean that you're free. But if you do it God's way, then you'll be able to see where you will be able to be free, because you have a foundation that says, now, God, this is what I did this. I'm holding on to your word. I see where it worked for this particular individual in the Bible. I'm using that as my basis. I'm using that as my foundation. And if I'm using that as my foundation, I'm going to expect you to honor me. I'm honoring you and how I'm approaching this thing. And so what we said over the last couple of weeks was, we talked about from the financial sector perspective, you have what's called good debts and we have what's called bad debts. And just to recap for those who have not been with us, good debts are things, items that you buy that increase or they create value. So on the flip side, bad debts are when you're using credit and you're putting yourself in debt, what you have purchased has no potential value to increase. No potential to value or increase. None. And so good debt also are purchases that are less likely to decrease in value. The opposite of that, of course, bad debts are purchases that go down in value. Now, this is the financial sector terminology. Now, when you look at it, if you went and purchased a brand new car today, I think many of you can probably say that what you've heard is that as soon as you drive that car off the car lot, then it automatically depreciates, or the value is automatically about 20% less. So you are the one who have to determine if what you are going to purchase or what you have purchased already is a good debt or a bad debt. We talked about this from the perspective because we wanted people to not just take what the financial sector is saying is a bad debt and then getting into a mindset or letting your spirit be weighed down in your spirit because things are not going the way that you expect them to go because you're following strictly the financial sector's way of doing it, the financial sector's perspective. And the reason that we brought up this contrast between good debts and bad debts is because there's another part to the financial sector piece that is called debt-free, which is where we're at tonight. And so if you're thinking about somebody being debt-free, how can you determine, and I'm talking to believers right now specifically, how can you determine that this is what God wants for you? Should we not be following the Spirit of God to be able to lead us in what we're doing? Again, let's go back to the poll. Everybody is not going to be debt-free. Everybody's not going to be debt-free. So if everybody is not going to be debt-free, the question is, why are you seeking to be debt-free? Are you seeking to be debt-free because you believe that others are debt-free, but you really have no way of knowing? It just looks like that on the outside. Are you trying to be debt-free because there's constantly commercials that are being that are entering into your airspace that are talking about being debt-free? Are you watching certain individuals on TV as far as ministerial-wise, and they are pushing an agenda, and I'm not saying it's a negative or positive, but they're pushing an agenda about being debt-free, and this is what God wants for you. But you've never seen any scripture. Now, this is something that you're hearing all the time, but you've never seen one scripture that backs up what that claim is. Just somebody says it. So then I would say, well, maybe what's going on is the person is taking the financial sector piece and just saying that this is what God wants you to be. Again, when you're dealing with good debts and when you're dealing with bad debts and you're talking about being debt-free, you have to make a determination. Let me go back even to good debts. If you make a purchase that is generating monthly income, and this monthly income that you're generating, it exceeds all the operating expenses, amen, you now have a good debt. But if whatever that item is, if it loses or doesn't maintain value and you're paying for services that you're no longer using or you're no longer getting a benefit from, those are the bad debts. So let me give you another example. I decide to buy a piece of property. I buy a home. I buy a home and then I put a rental sign on the outside. And after I put a rental sign on the outside, here comes somebody to rent this home for me. Well, I may have purchased the home for $100,000. It is not going to be putting me into a positive as far as the debt is concerned until I'm able to pay that note off. But along the way, along the process, if my note is $1,000 a month and I'm receiving $1,500 a month, then that monthly income, now I have good debt because I'm not hurting. I'm not overextending myself. Yes, my brothers and my sisters, there is a possibility that that renter may move out. And if that renter moves out, then now all of a sudden, hopefully you have done the smart thing, which is not take the extra $500 that you're receiving and just spend it on anything. Hopefully what you're doing is putting it to the side. You're letting it stay into the bank so in case something breaks down in the home while somebody's there, you can fix it up. In case there's something that needs to be taken care of when the person moves out of the home, you have the money to be able to fix it up. In case a natural disaster comes and your insurance doesn't pay all but $1,500 out of a $4,000 bill to remove a gigantic tree off of the property, then you have some of that money stacked up. So let's go back to, again, if God wants you to be debt-free, then what? And last week, we talked about how would that change things? What would you do? So what I'm going to do now is, and if you're writing, if you're taking notes, I'm just going to throw a couple of things out there. If God wants you to be debt-free, then I'm believing, because I've seen an instance of this in the Word of God, that he'll put the right people in your path for you to be debt-free. If God wants you to be debt-free, if that's what his will is, then he's going to put the right people in your path to become debt-free. Let me tell you something. There is nobody who is going to stand on TV or be on a DVD or a promotional video and say with all honesty that they became debt-free by themselves. If anybody says that, then they're a liar and the truth is not in them, at least on this particular subject. Because somebody had to show them some of the principles that they needed in order to be able to get debt-free. I'm talking about whether they're in the church or whether they're not in the church. Somebody had to show them that, whether they were shown it in their own individual household growing up, whether they were shown it when they went to college, whether they were shown it by looking at television, whether they were shown it when they started reading certain books for a particular class. But nobody has ever, to my knowledge, ever become debt-free all by themselves. Somebody had to show them something. So that's the first thing. If God wants you to be debt-free, he's going to put the right people in your path for you to be debt-free. And I also think, here's the second thing. If God wants you to be debt-free, he's going to give you the right circumstances for you to be debt-free. So becoming debt-free, let's just deal with it from a straight practical financial perspective. Not going to make a characterization saying in the church and outside the church. Just it is what it is. If you're going to be debt-free, if God wants you to be debt-free, he's going to give you the right circumstances for it to be able to come to pass. Whatever those circumstances look like, you're going to have to seek God for what's going on in those particular circumstances. Now, here's the deal. That may be to one person, it may be a very grave situation. It may be a very difficult and challenging situation in your life where you may say, you know what, I am tired of living like this. You may say, I'm over my head in debt. You may say, I'm tired of living paycheck to paycheck, but I have these debts that are holding me down. Whatever your circumstance is, whatever your situation is, you are the only one that can really say what's going on. You're the only one that can say it. But there's the other side of the coin. It may be where somebody just has a debt that they say, you know what? It's not weighing me down, but I just want to get rid of. You know what? I have $1,000 on my credit card. I could pay this thing off. I got $2,000 in the bank. Why should I not pay the credit card off and just let my savings have $2,000 in it where I'm paying this interest on a debt for something that I've already purchased, that I possibly have already used? So let me give you an example. Let's say you decide to go on a vacation. Your vacation costs $1,000. You go ahead and you charge the vacation. You know that you're only going to have to pay on that $1,000 maybe $30, $40, $50 per month. So it's not going to break you. Everything is good. You can afford to pay that $50 a month until it's paid off, however long it takes to pay get paid off. But here comes an issue. If you know you have the money in the bank, my question would be, why did you charge it and just give up whatever the interest rate that you're actually paying to somebody else when you had the money in the bank? Well, it may have been easier to do it that way. Okay, so now that you have made that charge, just go ahead and pay it off. And now you still have an open line of credit with your credit card. So if an emergency happens, whether you have the $1,000 in the bank or you have the $1,000 on the card, you're still going to pull that money from someplace. The best thing about it is if you did it the way that I'm suggesting, pull it from your savings, if you are able to do it like that, then you don't have to worry about paying anybody any interest, and you don't have to be worried about being in debt to anybody. It's some simple things and some simple principles if you're really ready to apply them. And the third thing I'll say, that if God wants you to be debt-free, then he'll let it be your decision to act upon your level of faith. He'll let it be your decision to act upon your level of faith. And let me say this. This is where it gets tricky. And I see this because just because I come to you speaking that you're going to be debt-free and I'm speaking that over your life, it doesn't mean that it's going to come to pass, because just because I speak it, nor does it mean that it's automatically going to happen. So I would take those three things, for those of you who are listening, take those three things and see what God says to you about them, because I'm confident that he'll put the right people in your path for you to be debt-free if that's what his will is. He'll give you the right circumstances for you to be debt-free if that's what his will is. And he'll let it be your decision. He's going to allow you to act upon your faith. He's going to put it out there for you. If he wants you to be debt-free, he's going to put it out there for you. That means all you have to do is go out there and grab it. Now, what is the first word in today's subject or today's title of today's show? Is if. So the question is, how do you even know that God wants you to be debt-free? Can I suggest something? Why not ask him? Why not ask God, God, do you want me to be debt-free? Do you want me to be debt-free from this car? Do you want to be debt-free from my credit cards? Do you want me to be debt-free from my home? There may be some type of benefit that is out there for me not to have paid off my home right this particular moment, because God may have it already in motion. It may already be in motion that I'm going to get, if I'm a homeowner, that I may get a benefit for being a homeowner. But if I paid it off and I don't have that interest that I'm paying, I don't get that benefit. So if we're dealing with this thing of dealing with being debt-free, then the first thing that anybody has to do is to say, okay, God, is this what your will is for my life and for my finances? And I really believe that if we're willing to do that, if you're willing to do that, then God will respond the way that God needs to respond for you to be able to hear what he's trying to say to you. So let me just go ahead and take a pause, because I've been keeping a seat warm for a special person tonight. So we have Shatara Sherwood, who is one of the other gracious hosts here at the PRF table. Shatara, are you with us?
Yes. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. And I know Shatara's like, okay, what did I just step into? I've just been going. I've been just going for, 20-something minutes? And really just all what I've been talking about really is just spinning off from tonight's subject. If God wants you to be debt-free, then what? And you remember, we're shifting from the top three reasons of why somebody wanted to be debt-free, and then we moved to, if God wanted you to be debt-free, how would that change things? And this is kind of where that conversation for tonight stemmed from, if God wants you to be debt-free. And really what I've been communicating to our audience so far is the word is if God wants you to be debt-free. And you know that we're focusing under this whole umbrella of re-understanding debt, and the financial sector is pushing and will push be debt-free, be debt-free, debt, be debt-free. And some of it may even come from inside of the church or from a religious leader or a teacher about being debt-free. But this whole thing about being debt-free is that was God's will for you.
Right.
I have debt. You have debt. I'm not overburdened with debt. So
right.
Is it a must that I get out there and just say, you know what, I'm gonna go over to Iraq, or I'm going to go over to Afghanistan because I got $130,000 worth of debt, and I'm going to stay over there for about 2 years so I can get rid of all that debt? Question is, why? Why are you doing that? And I since I just said that, Shatara, I remember being in Iraq, and there was cats that went over there because of debt.
Right.
And can I tell you, some of these cats stayed over there after I was long gone. And we would have conversations, some of my colleagues, we would have conversations, and I watched during the period of time that I was over there how, for some of them that was there before me, 6 months, a year, started off about being debt-free. And then it turned into buying a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. So a person was in bondage to debt, made a drastic lifestyle change to go to a dangerous place where we knew if we were not, where we did not know if we were coming back home from day to day or from hour to hour because of who we were dealing with.
Right.
And then after God gave exceedingly and abundantly to be able to pay those debts off, after that was done, now it turned to greed. I'm talking about cats sitting on the computer, sitting on the laptop, just, I'm like, okay, you over here for another 3 months so you can buy this car? Really, dude? Are you serious? It's not that serious for me.
Right.
Again,
right.
If
and
God
I think,
wants you to be that good, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think for some people, it's a matter of knowing exactly what you said, what God wants for you. So for the person who is a compulsive spender and they have credit cards, should you have a credit card? You know, is that a wise choice for you to have a credit card? Or for someone who budget well, is it wise for you to have a checkbook? Or do you have to use cash only? Are you going to bounce checks because you don't know how to balance your checkbook? And so for each, and I say that because each individual situation is just that. It's an individual situation. It's like you said, you have to see what God wants for you, what his plan is for you. Because for one person, it may be that, you know, and whether you're debt-free or not, I guess it depends on how you look at it. So for the person who has to use cash because they don't know how to balance a checkbook and it ends up creating more debt for them, then they may not have like a credit card balance or a department store balance, but they still have obligations for their finances. So how you go about dealing with your debts or your financial obligations is individual. it's individually, you have to look at it as an individual and what God wants for you. That's what I heard when I was coming in. You were asking or saying whether it was what God wants for your life, and I think that's major. That's, you know, that's definitely the key. You have to seek God and ask, hey, you know, what is your will for this, for my finances, or is it your will that I make this decision, this investment, or spend it on that? You know, especially large investments like the car that you were talking about. Someone is in Iraq to get this lavish car, and I remember similar conversations with people who actually were not in the military but were trying to get contracting jobs to go overseas. They wanted to either pay off a major debt or they wanted to, they had this huge item that they wanted to buy. And and so it was that those were the two focuses. It was not a long-term plan as to what they were going to do with that. It was just either pay this lump sum of debt off or I want to buy this car or this house or whatever. So I think when you ask God what he wants you to do, you need to be prepared to listen to his answer and then go forward with a plan and a goal.
That's good. And excuse me, and one of the things that I wanted us to bring out about this is this subject is based on a question that I have on our site. The number one question tonight is this: is being debt free even a biblical or a spiritual principle, or is it one that is perpetuated by some in the religious and financial sectors? Is it even a biblical / spiritual principle, or is it one that is being perpetuated by some religious persons or those in the financial sector? And I can tell you why that question is valuable. One, because it has some spiritual implications. It's going to direct the manner in which a person is going to try to be debt-free. And the other part is, if that be the question, I'm always looking at whose voice are you listening to?
Right.
Whose voice are you listening to that says that you need to be debt-free? And Shatara, before you took your seat, I talked about something that we may incorporate into this PRF lesson on the pre-assessment. Are you debt-free is one question that I would use to poll a church or a community. And the second one is, have you ever been debt-free? And those questions are so relevant and so valuable because, as I said earlier, if you've been debt-free, I want to know how come you're not debt-free now. If you've been in the past and you're not right now. And the other thing is, if you are debt-free right now, how many folks have you pulled up? How many folks have you taken along the journey with you that may have not got to the point of being debt-free where you are, but they're almost there because you say, you know what, this is what I'm doing. And I can tell you this, and this is not to put a slap in the face of anybody or any other person's ministry, so that is not my intent. But whenever I see these success stories about people being debt-free, whether they're in just a strictly financial sector one or whether they're religious-based, I never hear anybody talking about what they did for anybody else. I never hear them talking about what they did for their family after becoming debt-free. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm not talking about your husband. I'm not talking about your kids. What you do for your family. Never hear anybody talking about what they've done for the church. You've been in that church 35 years. It's all you talk about. You can't go visit nobody else on Sunday because you got to be at your home church. But I don't hear nobody talk. And again, Shatara, I'm just being real. I'm not saying that it's not out there. I'm just saying what I've never heard after however many years of being involved with PRF. I've never heard it. I've never seen it on a commercial. I've never seen it. It's this whole – I'm probably going ahead to another week's show, but this whole thing about debt-free, I think that especially believers have to be really, really careful because the way that it comes out is not about a community thing. It's about an individual thing.
Right. And then I also think that there, you know, the individual is so busy chasing this potentially unrealistic goal for them that they lose focus on everything else around them. So
that's right.
It's all relative, and you have to do it. You have to take your individual situation into perspective. So is being completely debt-free a realistic goal for, I mean, for anybody? Because you do, it's an ebb and flow. Your finances and everything else in life is an ebb and flow. So you may have a hardship or have to, you may have a large expense at one given point in time in life. But if you manage it well and according to God's will, then it will come out in the wash, so to speak, or it'll balance out later on in life. So, yes, you may have to, you know, buy a new car suddenly because the car you were driving conked out, but you have to get to work. So that's an unexpected expense. So you shell out, you know, or you have to get a car loan for $20,000. Okay, that wasn't something you were expecting, so now you have a car note. But that's the understandable expense. But if you pay your car note on time and you're being a good steward over your money and you're getting to work and going to work on time and showing up when you're supposed to, you eventually will pay off that debt.
Right.
And so because you have this car loan, that doesn't mean that you should stop paying your electric bill. If you want to keep electricity, you have to manage the two financial responsibilities. So while one is a debt, the other one is a financial responsibility or a bill, so to speak, or child care. You say child care, you know, you add those type of things into the mix. Well, your money has to go to all three of those in order for you to continue to bring in the money that you have. So you have to manage those. At some point, you'll pay off the car note. You'll still have the electricity. You may still need the child care, but you'll pay off the car note. And maybe you go for a little while, and you just have those two bills to pay, and everything is fine for a while. So that's what I mean by there's an ebb and flow to life. You just have to be cognizant of managing those points in time where you do have to make that large purchase, and then plan accordingly when you have the room to breathe financially. So don't just spend unreasonably, and you put some away for a rainy day, as they say. So you just have to think of it as the ebb and flow.
That's right, and I have a real life story, ebb and flow. So we have two vehicles. Both of them were paid off. Well, you know, having children in college, sometimes they need things and they want things. And so one of our beautiful daughters said, "Hey, Dad," you know, she lives on campus. She said, "Hey, Dad," and this just touched my heart. I think I may have said it before. So she talked about how much college costs, which, you know, I already knew that, right? And she was gracious enough to get some scholarships and grants where there was not an exorbitant amount of money that had to be paid per year. I mean, it was just, you know, not that much compared to how much the whole amount of tuition. And, you know, when you live on campus, that's extra cost, right? Because now you also have to have a meal plan. So here's what she said. She said, I told her I was going to give her my car, and I was going to probably do this before she started her, I think, junior year. She's a senior now, so I think it was right before her junior year last year, and so she knew this in her junior year early, and, you know, she had thrown it out there, Shatara, you know, about trying to get the car early, and, you know, that just wasn't going to happen. But she comes to me in, like, February, or maybe January, and she said, "Dad, I just want to make sure you're still going to give me a car. You know, you said you were going to do it. I just want to make sure." And I was like, "Yeah, I told you I'm going to give it to you. And so then she calls me back a couple of weeks later, and she's like, and she says it again. I was like, "Well, what's going on?" You know, because, you know, just how, you know, children will continue to ask you the same thing over and over and over again. And she said, "Well, this is what I want to do. I want to live off campus, and I want to live with a family member who doesn't live far from where she goes to school. And she said, I want to stay with them. And I, by doing that, I could save $11,000 for the year. She said, but I have to have a decision. I have to have the paperwork in that I'm not going to be living on campus by February, say, 20th. So I just want to, you know, before I do this, because once I do it, I'm not going to have nowhere to stay on campus because, you know, they're going to fill up. And I did that. And so that summer, she got the car. But guess what I had to do now? I had to buy another car because we only had two. And here's the thing. It wasn't about getting whatever we wanted. It was about getting something that took us from having a $0 car payment, right? And I know that sounds crazy, but you know what I'm saying. To now all of a sudden having a couple hundred dollar car payment, which all of a sudden now we're talking about insurance that may go up. And depending on the type of car, the gas you may use may be required you to cost to pay more. So when we made the purchase, we did not make a purchase, even though we put ourselves in a debt situation, but we didn't put ourselves in a debt situation where it was going to hurt us, right? Didn't go out there and buy something that we knew we could not afford. So when we're asking this question about if God wants you to be debt-free, then how about look at the decision that you made and say, well, is this about now because it's painful? Is it about me being debt-free, or is it about having to ride out that storm? See, sometimes people want to get to a freedom place but don't want to go through the storm.
Right.
The children of Israel, when they left from – the children of Israel, they were there for 400 years. They talked about the promised land. And here comes a man named Moses that God sent him and told them this is what they were supposed to do. He sent them to leave. And so along their journey, they were complaining, but they were already released from it, but they weren't released from it in their minds. So we're saying we don't want people to be in bondage to it, and we don't want people holding on to this notion of being debt free is what is God's will for everybody. Because I'm going to go to this caller, but here's the thing that we're going to talk about when we come back from this caller. It should be pretty clear, Shatara, and there should be some overwhelming experience, some evidence, if you will. I can go and look into the written word of God and be able to see something that says, okay, is this about being debt-free, or is it what Shatara said, is it about managing what I had? Or in this whole realm of managing the debt, does these three points that I brought up a few moments ago actually come to life? Putting the right people in your path to be debt-free, giving you the right circumstances, and the right circumstances doesn't always mean that it's a good-feeling type of circumstances. It could be a negative circumstance or a positive circumstance. But God allows it. If he allows it, he's allowing it. And then it's going to be your faith, which is going to determine if that whole thing of being debt-free, being in his will, is how it's going to play out. So let us go to a caller, last four of 1686. Welcome to the PRF table.
Thank you. This sister, Ernestine, and I'm enjoying thoroughly this discussion, and I just wanted to just say that I am getting a whole new perspective about what it really means, truly means to be debt-free. Number one, something that you said earlier about asking God basically what is his will for your finances. I think the reason why that within itself is so important, because when you are a Christian and when you're reading the Bible or listen to the word being spoken when it comes to finances, you always tend to hear the scriptures, he will make you the head and not the tail, the lender, not the borrower. You know, if you put him first, all these other things will be added. And so you go in the mindset of, if I am a believer and if I'm faithfully living this life, I should not be this way in my finances. And then you will have actually other people who may not be where you are in reference to faith, but they will look at your life and say, well, if you love God so much, why are you struggling? And that's not God's will for you to struggle or this or that. So, and I'm not saying it's his will for us to struggle. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I love the fact how you, to me, in my mind, it was always God's will for us to prosper and live in prosperity. And so that's what you tend to try to strive for. And I know sometimes going back to also trying to be one of the Joneses, mostly when you see, especially in black churches, you see a lot of people who have a lot of luxury cars. They may have luxury homes. And I know I went almost 5 years without having a car. And the reason why I went so long without having a car is because I prayed a prayer. And my prayer was simply this: Lord, I don't want any car payments. So when I get my car, I want to, number one, either have a lump sum of money and pay for it in cash, or number two, you bless somebody to bless me with some keys and give me a car. But that was the only way. And people used to look at me like I was crazy. Why you don't have a car? You got a good job, you know. But I did not want any payments. And I waited 5 years. I have my car. I own it. Got the title. No payments. And the only thing I do is pay car insurance. And I thank God for it. So that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you for your comment and sharing with us. That's definitely good. You know, for somebody to say, I'm going to purposely wait so that I'm not in debt, listen to this, Chitar, why would you not want to follow that person versus the person that's striving to be debt-free? Why would you not want to connect with her, our caller that just called in, who said, I'm not going to put myself into that position of being in bondage or enslaved or over my head, or even just having to deal with it at all. I'd rather not even have that at all and hold on and wait and go that route for 5 years to get this one thing versus somebody that continues to give you CDs, continues to tell you to watch this, continues to tell you to listen to this, continues to give you the Word of God, which the Word of God is not addressing that situation, but they're trying to use it because they're trying to encourage you that this is not what you're supposed to be doing as far as being in debt, but that's not what God's Word is actually saying, but that's what they're taking it to for whatever reason. I'd rather connect with that sister, Chitar. I'm just telling you. You know what? What did we talk about last week? Last week we focused on two points that we focused on was on accountability and patience. What I just heard was just patience right there in regards to debt.
Right.
So watch this.
And
I can just imagine. Go ahead.
About the instant, you know, people wanting instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
In previous calls, about the issue with instant gratification. People want what they want right now, regardless of, you know, God's time. They want it now. And so if we get back to that, I think that makes a world of difference. In a lot of people's current situation, you know, they're in the plight that they're in right now because they couldn't wait on God.
Right.
Now, this is the thing. Right. If the caller could get back and forth to work, and she was able to manage her life without that vehicle, total sense to wait on God. Absolutely. Even in your, just naturally, I'm thinking, if God, even if your situation looks crazy, to the natural eye, and God says, wait, then that, you know, that takes a extra measure, you know, for some people, extra measure of faith to say, okay, I know I heard God say, wait, but this looks real crazy right here. But if you're able to even manage your situation, if she's getting back and forth to work and everything, and she doesn't have a car, but she still has these people, these other people saying, oh, you make good money, and why don't you have a car? That makes plenty of people make unwise decisions because they're listening to man and instead of what God is telling them. Oh, okay, yeah, you're right. You know, I should have a car because I have a good job. And okay, but because you have a good job doesn't mean, and it sounds like a good decision doesn't mean it's a God decision.
Right,
so you buy this fancy car, and then it breaks down 3 months in, or you know, God forbid, you get in an accident, and it's total. Now, if you waited on God, then you would have got that fancy car maybe for free or maybe for half price. Who knows what blessing God has down the road for you? Because if he told you to wait, then clearly you need to wait. But in order for you to hear the wait came with him on the front side, you have to ask the question in order to get an answer that says wait. So that means you have to be talking to God.
That's right. That's right. And we appreciate every last one of our listeners for listening to the PRF table. And we pray that it's not just folks that are listening to us, that they're trying to hear God through us or trying to hear what God is saying through us to them or through people like our previous caller, that they can say, you know what, I was about to go. She may have stopped some driver going to buy a car right now. That may have just stopped somebody from going to buy a car. And think about this. You know, nobody knows where that caller lives in what part of the country, right? You're from New York. I'm from Philly. You don't have to have a car to get around.
Not at all.
You don't have to have one. And it's been working for years. Ever since I've been on this earth, we've had subways in Philly. You see what I'm saying? In public transportation. So people don't have to go after these things thinking that they have to have them. It's not necessary. That's not something that they have to do. So we got to make sure that we're trying to help people to see, okay, you see God before you get into these debt situations. And for those who are already in, we're talking about being debt-free, so we're talking about people who are already in debt situations, right, or who have debt. Now seek God on how to get out.
Right.
Seek God. Isn't it amazing how the children of Israel couldn't, with all of them, they couldn't come together with all of them to muster up enough strength and courage to get to leave Egypt? Couldn't do it. It's something how slavery keeps people in bondage, not physically, but in the mind. Because even when Moses, when they left with Moses, they still were stuck back in Egypt. You go back and look in the book of Exodus. It's real clear. When Pharaoh and Pharaoh's army was on their tails, before Moses, before the Red Sea was parted, they were like, hold on, we were better off back there with getting whips on our back than having to get ready to go through this because they couldn't see no way out. And I think that's what slavery and that's what bondage does with people with debt. So it makes it an easy thing to say for some people, and I've been there as well, so I'm being transparent. You know what? Let me try this. Let me try that. Oh, let me go ahead and give this great big offering and believe God is a slot machine. So I'm going to go ahead and drop this seed offering so that I can get out of this debt, out of this bondage. Let's not even go there. This is the only thing I got left for tonight. I want us to go back to 2 Kings chapter 4. Because, again, this is one of those foundational texts for PRF in general. But let me show you how relative it is how pertinent it is in what we're talking about tonight with debt and how important it is to this whole lesson. When we go back to or go to 2 Kings chapter 4, some people may not have heard it before, so I'll just go ahead and read it. So one day there was a widow. A widow went to Elisha. So Elisha was the prophet, right, or the man of God. And she cried out to him, and she talked about how her husband was dead. And she talked about how he served very well. He served faithfully, and he was a God-fearing man. And a creditor is coming to take away and enslave their 2 sons. Because, again, back in those times, when people owed debts, other people was what was used to help pay off those debts. So it was not, and that's one of the reasons I think that sometimes the debt situations that we have in our country, the debt situations that some of us may have in our church or some may have in the church, is not that grave of a situation because it's only about the individual in most cases. A person who doesn't pay off their credit card, it doesn't have a direct effect on your children, because your credit report is one thing and your child's credit report is another. But in this time, the situation was a whole lot grave. They're coming to take away my 2 sons, and they're going to put him in slavery because of this debt, and not that I ran up, but the debt of my husband. And so now it falls on me because I'm the one that's here. And so for those of us who know the story, Elisha says to her, okay, what is it that I can do to help you? And he asked her, tell me what you have in the house. So, again, there was already something that she had that was already there. But the first point of it is, goes back to what I said earlier, he'll put the right people in the path for you to become debt free. You can't start and read just what I read from the beginning, a couple verses in chapter 4 of 2 Kings, and say, oh, he's the right one. What he said to her, that's what's going to get her to be debt-free. All you see is the person there and there being a conversation about trying to help the situation. That's a good point for some people, because if you're trying to be so focused on being debt-free, you'll miss all the other stuff that God is doing in the interim.
Right.
We'll just totally miss it. And what's really, really important, Shatara, is that we don't miss it. What's really, really important is that we're able to remember in it some of the lessons that God is showing us and teaching us through the process of debt being removed,
mm-hmm.
not just being at a point, whoo, I don't have no more debt. Because if things happen like you said, which I believe that they do, it ebbs and it flows, the person gets back into debt again, this man of God, like, there may not be an Elisha right there to help in that situation. So
right, but what if you're the Elisha? What if you're the Elisha, or supposed to be the Elisha, and you are so focused on being that free that you can't help that person? You can't help the widow.
Wow.
Because you're focusing on being that free. And that was my point. Like, you're so focused on getting rid of the debt that you can't be a blessing to somebody who's in a more dire circumstance than you.
Wow.
And see, so you're able to manage, you may be able to manage without chasing that debt-free status. But this person, this might be the critical moment for them. This might be the moment
mm-hmm.
that makes or breaks their situation.
Mm-hmm.
Makes or breaks life. And that's your one opportunity that you get to be a blessing to that person and bring them into the fold by being a witness to them. You miss it because you're chasing debt-free status. And then that person does something that's irreversible or detrimental to their situation. It's, you know, maybe, oh, I need to feed my baby, so I'm going to go rob a bank. And you were
mm-hmm.
supposed to take that $50 and sew it into their life, or that $100 or whatever, that extra payment that you made on your extra luxurious car, you're supposed to bless them with that so they can pay their rent and or their mortgage. And as a result, they lose their home. Or get evicted. So
that's right.
That's why it's important to be open to the voice of God, and to be cognizant of what's going on around you. So that takes me back to a position, you know, understanding your mm-hmm. position, where you are in Christ, and listening to his voice, understanding your position, and be in position where you're supposed to be.
And take what you just said about position. This is that word, you done summed up what my second point was when I said earlier that God will give you the right circumstances for you to be debt free. That's about position. So that just hit me as you just said it. So this widow woman was in the right position for God to move.
Right.
If she never, think about it. If her husband had died and there had not been any debt, the lesson that you're going to hear that she's going to learn, that story, that testimony, we wouldn't even have that as one of the foundational scriptures for PRF right now. If she was not in the right position, if those circumstances never happened like it happened. And so one position was she had to have some level of faith to go and some level of trust to even go to the man of God. So you just mentioned about Elisha, right, being focused on, if he was focused on his own debt, he could have missed it.
Right.
So that says something to us as ministers and pastors and religious leaders and teachers, and we got to be in the right position to help people in this area.
Absolutely.
You know, I like going backwards, right? Going back to the polls that I mentioned. So if there's a whole bunch of people that are not debt-free in the church, but a whole bunch of people believing in debt-free and striving for it, if there's some people who have been debt-free before, but you don't know that they've ever been debt-free because it's never talked about, because everybody's focusing on their own stuff, something wrong with that picture, wherever that occurs. But I can tell you, I know from the churches that I've been a part of, ministering alongside of, there's a whole bunch of people that are in debt and is not being addressed from a collective perspective. It's being addressed where you do what you got to do to get yourself straight. And that's just not how I see it. This woman, Elisha tells her, when she says, all I have is this flask of oil, olive oil. He says, go to borrow from your neighbors, other jars, as many as you can get. Take you and your sons, y'all just go collect as many jars. Then y'all come on back, and you take this one, and you start pouring into all of the jars that you collected from your neighbors, and you pour the oil until it stops flowing. So, again, another place of position. There had to have been some type of relationship with her neighbors. If she had no relationship with the neighbors, she'd have had one thing of oil. And how bad or how detrimental would that have been to the whole situation? She may have been able to pay some of the debt off, still would have been in a position. So can you imagine not having a relationship with her neighbors, only able to get a few jars, pouring the oil into what she had, and then the creditor still comes, and all the debt is not able to get paid, so they take one of the sons and leave one. That wouldn't work well either. It wouldn't even have worked well. So her positioning with the relationship with her neighbors, maybe that says something to us. Because like I said, he'll put the right people in your path to be debt-free. I can pretty much guarantee that this widow woman had no idea that she would have to call on that day, that she would have to call on her neighbors to get these jars. And if we look at a lot of our communities in America, or the communities that I know about and hear others talking about, where we do not communicate and have the type of relationships with our neighbors like we used to back 30, 40 years ago in some of our communities. So now that would make it really, really difficult for us to be able to for God to be able to use a situation like this to be able to help us get out of debt, because we don't have that type of relationship with our neighbors. And if you can't go to folks in the church because they're in the same situation, that makes it even worse. Because what about the folks that are on the outside of the church? and they see this, something is not clicking. And they don't have to know the Bible to know, okay, every time he gets paid, I know he borrowed money from another coworker after about a week. But yet he always talking about, how you doing? Oh, blessed and highly favored. I don't understand that. And that doesn't kind of look like what I'm looking like. I think I'm okay just doing what I'm doing. In the end of this story, she goes and she, the man of God, what happened? And he goes and gives her more advice and tells her, go pay off your debt, go sell the oil and then pay off your debts. And the beautiful thing was, you'll be able to pay off your debts and you'll have enough money left over to support you and your two sons. Do you see that? Not pay off your debts so that you can go do what you want to do, so that you can support you and your sons. Now, some folks may not even realize this, but we know that in the biblical times, it wasn't about a mother supporting two children. When a father was gone, it was about the brother stepping in according to the culture or the community stepping in. Because if she had no other brothers that, or he had no brothers and there was nobody else, then she was a widow. And so with widows, who took care of the widows? And again, this is Old Testament, but let's shift it. Who takes care of the widows? It's supposed to be the church. Taking care of the widows, or true religion is taking care of the widow orphans. I believe that's what's written in James. So it was a community thing. But in this one, she's good. Not just her, but for her family as well. So I continue to pose that question to folks, you know, then what? Does God even want somebody to be debt-free? Some of our listeners, does God even want you to be debt-free so you can just be debt-free and go on vacation and do this and do that while you got people sitting next to you that are just hurting, that wish they knew what you knew what to do, what you wish they knew what you did to get to a point where you're not overburdened with debt anymore? Chantal, that's all I have. I pose back that first question, or the number one question: is being debt free even a biblical spiritual principle, or is it one perpetuated by some in the religion financial sector? I think we talked on that second side of that question, but on the first side, I'm going to continue to hold on to 2 Kings chapter 4, and I'm going to continue to hold on to it and see how it's not just about being debt-free, that it is a whole lot deeper than you just not having any debts.
Right.
It's a whole lot deeper than that. So we have, I believe, 3 more weeks this month, Shatara, in the month of July. And what we're going to be focusing on, and I really pray that a lot of people just come in and listen and participate, because it's going to take this perspective about being debt-free, and we're going to shift it and turn it on its head. Not so that folks won't, and I'm not putting it out there that nobody should ever strive not to be debt-free if they need to be free from it, right? But there is a better way that every last one, when God revealed this to me, there is a better way that every last one of us, every last person in my church, if every last person in my church took to this principle that we're going to talk about probably for about 2 or 3 weeks and just pushed this whole notion of being debt-free to the side, I guarantee you, you'll see increased households financially. You'll see increased households spiritually. You'll see churches in a whole different perspective when it comes to giving. And let me just plug that. This is not for a whole bunch of preachers and pastors to get and say, let me go ahead and grab onto that so I can go ahead and get this so the people can go ahead and become debt-free so they can give more money to the church. Because when we go back to 2 Kings chapter 4, it was about this widow woman and her family, not the widow woman and the community. So that wasn't the first thing. And if I need to go here, I guess I'll go here now. Even when Christ said, being witnesses unto me, after he's gone, after I'm gone, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all to the uttermost parts of the earth, Jerusalem was where they were at. Judea was the region. Samaria was outside of that. And then to the uttermost. So there is a level or levels that people have to get to. Everybody can't start off in Samaria. He said, start right here. So we don't need, I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to try not to go there tonight. You got to focus. You got to focus on home. But I'm not telling us to focus on home, and to just totally omit everything else. It doesn't have to be an either or. I mean, a either or. It really can be a both and. And if you're doing both and I'm doing both and Adia's doing both and Fisa's doing both and, you can't tell me that we're not going to just do some things that are just going to change how things are actually going on financially when it comes to debt.
Right.
I can't see it. So we'll introduce it when we come back again next week, and definitely the week after that, and we'll see how we go for the third week. But I'm excited about it. I hope the rest of the hosts will be here next week. I know Mama wasn't feeling too well, and she took a seat, and I just said, Mama, let me just go ahead and cut your microphone off. God bless you. Go ahead and just let yourself get some rest, because she wasn't feeling well. So I ask everybody just to pray for her. She's been dealing with something for about the last couple of weeks, and I've been gone all week. So I called her today, and, you know, that's Mama. You know, we all love her, and we all miss her voice here. And Brother Feaster is getting back into the saddle, so we can't wait for him to get back. So, Chitara, any final thoughts, anything that you wanted to bring before the table? Because I'm excited about what God's going to do in the upcoming weeks, but also what I really think this has been really good and enlightening for not just for me, but for those who are listening to us tonight.
No, I agree. It definitely has been some good food. So it's something for us to chew on for the week. And hopefully we can apply some of the things that we talked about. So it was a really good message. I mean, and even though some things are brought up from other shows, you get a different perspective on it. So I think it was very enlightening. And there are some things that, you know, I'm certainly going to be thinking on and praying on for my own life for this coming week, for the next show. You know, God is working on all of us. So no one person has all the answers. So I'm just hoping that the listeners are, you know, moving forward as we move forward in this PRF journey.
Amen. Amen. Well, for those of you who are still listening, still here with us at the table, we just want you to come back next week and also the rest of the month, every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The website, prfministry.org, prfministry.org, or you can find us on Facebook, PRF Teaching Ministry. So let us just communicate. We know some people do not like to say things openly in public, so you have various different ways. If you just go to our website, you can see how to contact any of us, myself, Brother Feaster, Chitara, and Adia, as we do our very best to lead this PRF teaching ministry from a team perspective, because that's the only way that is actually going to work. And invite somebody to come to the show as well. We know from being on the air for the last couple of years that there are a lot of people that are dealing with a lot of situations with debt. I can tell you, and I'm going to get on the soapbox for about 30 seconds or so, sitting and watching TV when you could be listening to something that is going to help God get through to you, so that is going to help your situation. I think that's a better route. And it doesn't have to be done on Thursday nights, even though we would love for there to be 10,000 listeners on Thursday night. You can also listen, go to Blog Talk Radio, and you can find the PRF table or PRF Teacher Ministry, and you'll be able to see and listen to all of our archive shows. So I just say it in a nice way. There's no excuse not to be able to get the information because God has put us in a place, positioned us at the Sitara, where we have a medium for people to go back and listen and meditate on these things and let God do what only God can do. So with that, I'm going to be with you, Sitara. We're going to be praying collectively about what we need to do, and maybe we'll get to talking about some of these things over the next couple of weeks. So we're going to just take it out with our good friends, Earth, Wind, and Fire. And as I said before, the music at the beginning of our show is a song called Freedom by Earth, Wind, and Fire. So we're going to let that be what's going to take us out this night. So until next week, God bless you. We love you. Have a good night.
Good night.